Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The name's Earth.
I'm your huckleberry.
We see we cut the Kit Kat and haul.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything ActionCast podcast for June 14th, 2021. I'm your host Zach, and joined tonight with Chris.
Hello.
And we got a bunch of stuff to dive into this week. We're going to dive into some E3 trailers and news, because that kind of happened over the last weekend or so. So, a bunch of video stuff to talk about later on. And some more Netflix news, like finish up like the big like Netflix that they're like week long Geek Week or whatever they were calling it last week, when like it's funny, like the best day of news was like the day after we recorded our podcast last week, so it was like all sorts of stuff happened like Friday, and it's just like, all right,
you know, I remember like Tuesdays was like the news things a long time ago. It was like when things would be announced, but now it's like the weekend stuff where I think like that's what it was years ago, you know, like, weekend was just, like, how...
Yeah, it used to be, like, if you wanted to, like, hide something, you'd release it on Friday. Like, if you wanted to, like, we're canceling this, we'll put it out, like, Friday at, like, 6 a.m., 6 p.m. or something, like...
Yeah, the people couldn't react in time, it's just, like, whatever. But now it's, like, with the internet being a thing, and people just kind of distributing news whenever they like, you know, you can't really tell when... Every day is a big day.
Yeah. So, yeah, so let's jump right in. But unfortunately, we have to kick things off with some sad news. We lost another legendary character actor this past week. Ned Beatty passed away.
Yeah, it's one of those guys you thought just never would disappear like that. Like, you know, it's just like, you figure he would retire from acting and that'll be it.
I think he did, because, like, his last thing was in 2013. So, yeah, he's been, I guess, retired for a while. But... I mean, just tons and tons and tons of stuff. Like most of the major like movies from the 70s, he was in. Like he was in, like Nashville and Network and MASH and All the President's Men and. But then also like a bunch of like Burt Reynolds movies from the 70s. Like he was in White Lightning and Gator.
I always confuse those two.
I mean, it's the same character. It's a series. It's like the same character in both and stuff. So, Burt Reynolds is like Gator McCord or something, or Gator McCluskey or something. But White Lightning is the first one, and then Gator is the second one. And then also like the Burt Reynolds movie Stroker Ace, which is like a NASCAR like Burt Reynolds racing movie. He was in Exorcist 2, The Heretic.
I haven't seen that one in a long time.
And obviously a huge one was he was Otis in the Superman movie, like the Richard Donner Superman movies, at least the first two.
Now, was like, Otis an original character in the movie?
I think so, maybe. I think he was just made up for the movie, and then probably they put him in the comic afterwards. Or put him in the comics afterwards because the movies were so popular.
Mm. Oh, I forgot. He was Lotso in Toy Story 3.
Yeah, that was one of his last big roles. Like he was in Lotso Huggin' Bear in Toy Story 3, and then also Rango the Mayor, yeah.
He was the villain in like all these kids' movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like so like like some of his last things is like just being like the villains of kids movies,
and of course Thunderpants, and Shooter, he was the villain in that one.
Yeah, I think one of the villains like that whatever that like cabal of like evil senators or whatever from Shooter that was like behind everything.
It's one of those things where Ned Beatty has been in so many things that's always like something's on TV with him that I just feel like he doesn't go away even when he retired. You know what I mean? Like he just.
Yeah.
You see a lot of him in roles.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely one of the best like character actors of all time. So, you know, definitely RIP to him. So, moving on, as far as movie trailers, there's only one kind of new big movie trailer this week, which was the trailer for Pig, which is a new Nicolas Cage movie that we heard. The premise came out like a couple years ago, and people were just like, "Oh man, what is this movie?" And now we finally have an idea what it is. But it's basically Nicolas Cage is a truffle hunter who lives by himself in like the Oregon wilderness. And he has a like pet pig that helps him sniff out truffles because the pigs are very good at like finding truffles in the woods. But then someone shows up and like kidnaps his pig, so Nicolas Cage has to like go to Portland and like find who stole his pig and get it back.
But it like devolves into something crazy.
Well, I think when everyone heard the premise, everyone was just like, "Oh, is this gonna be like Taken, but with a pig?" Like it's gonna be on Nicolas Cage just like punching people with his pig bag.
It's also got that John Wick vibe where it's like, do you not know who this man is? Like,
yeah,
it's a chef killer. Or
the look and tone of the movie is not what I was expecting. I thought it was gonna be like way more pulpy. This looks like an A24 movie or something. It's like it seems like it's trying to be like way more like dramatic and serious, although there's a lot, it looks like also like bloody Nicolas Cage at some point, but like, yeah, it's definitely not like, it definitely doesn't seem like, at least this trailer doesn't make it seem like it's gonna be like a full-on like crazy like action Taken sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it is going to be action or it's more like the reason why Nick Cage lives in the woods alone from society because he had a freak out in a restaurant and he hates people now.
Yeah, was he a chef? Is that
the backstory? I think he was a chef. I think it's hinted that
because he was like, I remember every meal I cooked. I remember every person I served. But they don't know who I am.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's like you're not a celebrity chef, so you're just kind of in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, does that mean that, he quit because he got burnt out from the kitchen world, or did he cook people? Was he secretly a cannibal? You know, like, is that what it's?
Yeah.
I feel like you'd be surprised he was a cannibal or something.
Mm. Yeah, it definitely looks interesting. Nicolas Cage has a crazy beard, and yeah, he wants his pig back, so. So yeah, we'll find out what's going on with this in July. It's gonna be out on July 16th in theaters, so you can check that out when it comes out. I'm definitely more excited. I want to see the trailer for I think it's like it's something Ghostland or something, or like it was at like Sundance, like the virtual Sundance this year, and people said it was like absolutely insane. Prisoners of the Ghostland. Well, basically Nicolas Cage is this criminal that he basically gets Suicide Squadded, where he gets like bombs strapped himself, including on his testicles, and then they send him off into like this like kind of like wasteland like cursed world, and he has to like rescue this girl. They got like taken into like this like no man's land.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage, he's like a samurai biker, and it's got Mad Max sort of vibes, and like it's like Japanese, like it's like Nicolas Cage is in like this like Japanese Mad Max hybrid thing. It looks insane. We haven't really seen, there hasn't been any trailer, there hasn't been much. I think it got bought by someone. I don't remember who, like what studio bought it, or what like distributor bought it. But like, yeah, it's supposed to be hopefully maybe out like this year or something. But and Nicolas Cage himself said like that it's like the craziest movie he's ever made. So if he says that, then it's gonna be nuts.
Okay, high bar standard.
But hopefully Pig is good. Pig will be here much sooner than Prisoners of Ghostland. Oh, we also got that one where like he's playing himself too.
What? I forgot about that one.
The one, yeah, it's like where like he's playing himself, and then like some sort of like drug kingpin, like in Mexico, like hires him to like he's like a billionaire like drug cartel guy who like hires Nicolas Cage to like come to his mansion and like reenact scenes from his movies with him.
It's something I would do to Nick Cage now, like if I had that much money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for it.
Yeah, so, man, yeah, I'll... Hopefully the Nick Cage science continues, because, like, yeah, like, most of the recent Nicolas Cage movies have been, like, pretty good. Except for maybe Willy's Wonderland, which I've heard is terrible, but...
I've seen, like, bits... And it sounds like fun still, like, but it, apparently just how it plays out is not great.
The fact that like he doesn't have a single line of dialogue in that entire movie,
and the twists aren't that great.
Mm-hmm. But so moving on from movie trailers and Nicolas Cage, let's dive into E3 for a little bit, because that happened starting, I think last Friday was like kind of the first big events, and then like going all the way to like this past Tuesday, kind of ending with Nintendo. Although there's been like some stuff continuing past that, but Nintendo was like the last big video presentation on like Tuesday. But yeah, let's just jump through a couple of the highlights, or just like bring up some of the things that jumped out to us, like. Like what was one of the big things that jumped out to you, Chris, for as far as the game announcement or like?
Yeah, yeah. The one that really jumped out to me was the like, I was simple, so I saw this out of order, but I really like the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
Yes, so this is Square Enix, their second Marvel game. Although, hopefully, it seems like they maybe learned from the Avengers game where
maybe.
This is not. Yeah,
I saw what they fight, and it's just like cubes, and you need to switch weapon types to attack them.
Yeah, maybe. I think they learned as far as like make it single player, and not make it like try to make it like Destiny or something.
Not even Destiny. It's like a whole. It's Destiny's part of that model, but it's like
Anthem or
yeah,
like
it's like looter shooters is a half of it. People don't mind looter shooters if they're fun, but not if they're like punishing you for playing it.
Yeah.
Where basically you can only enter certain realms at certain times, and then you can only like collect certain loot if you have like another type of loot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, and then what you fight is just generic things, because like you can't fight like classic monsters. You're just fighting like robots for like 80% of that game.
That's what I heard, yeah.
So at least you can kind of like swap it out and fight like aliens and like mutants, because you know you're on an alien planet, so they just have these things and they're native to that. So at least like that sounds good.
And they mentioned several times like this is single player. We're focused on single player. We're gonna have a very focused single player story in this. So
did we mention it's single player?
Yeah. It does still have the Uncanny Valley thing of like it's like just off enough from like the MCU versions where it's just like it's very off-putting, because like Square Enix doesn't have they have the Marvel license, they don't have the MCU license, but they like clearly want this to be like very very much like the MCU versions of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't do it, so they're just like, it's like here's not Chris Pratt Star-Lord, but we want it to be.
Is it like it? I think the voice actor is like not Troy Baker, but it's like a like Troy Baker voice.
everything just like is just the off version.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I think the Guardians work better than like the Avengers. Like the Avengers definitely were just like, this is like, I think people were making like the like, oh, it's like that Spaceballs joke where they caught the stunt doubles. Like, I mean, like, you know, like Groot and Rocket, you can like make like. Like you can make them however you and like Drax and like Everyone but Star-Lord, basically, is you can, like, make, because they're all, like, aliens or whatever, so you can kind of, like, do whatever you want with them.
Well, I mean, they're more in the comics, and I'm used to that.
Yeah.
So, it's just, you can't have the MCU characters brought to life because of, like I said, licensing, so you have to, like, think that. So, unless it's, like, you know, official Marvel, Disney version, it's always going to be the, like, Bobo, like, variant of it. And
yeah.
I think it's going to be, like, the first hurdle, and then after that, it's going to be whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't like that the trailer I saw also showed you, like, all the DLC costumes that they can get, like, the classic, or, like,
yeah.
The, like, royal fancy. I was like,
there was, what? Yeah, there's like, three different versions of the game you could pre-order or whatever. Like, it's, like, the cosmic version or whatever. Like,
and I was pissed. I didn't like that. Like, that's why I was like, oh, I just want to know about the game. I didn't know you guys were, like, how far in development you were. Now you're telling me about, like, how to make more money off your game that may or may not work.
Well, it's coming out in October, so it's...
I know.
It's pretty far along, I would guess.
Well, because they just ripped off the same engine code that they made Marvel's Avengers.
Oh, yeah, like, probably.
And that game is, like, $5, I think.
It's pretty cheap now. It's, like, $25. I think that's all, like, for, like, 25 the other day or something.
Oh. I mean, that's still way cheaper, because that game came out, like, year ago?
Yeah.
$25 now, because it's a game as a service, and that's, like, it's not a fun service. So hopefully they know, like, let's balance this game so it's actually enjoyable.
Well, a lot of people were saying, like, this looks like it seems like maybe they're like took some inspiration from, like, Mass Effect or something, where it's like you're playing a Star-Lord, but then you're like issuing commands to the other Guardians, and they're kind of like fighting on their own, but then you can, like, tell them to do specific things.
Yeah, but I kind of want to play as the team. I don't care to play just as Star-Lord. That's my only...
Like Ultimate Alliance style, where you can, like, jump between them?
Yeah. Or it's, like, you know, choose the map and choose who you want to play as, so you can kind of mess with the play style.
Mm-hmm.
Or have it be, like, segments, where, like, you know, I can play as Groot for this part, I can play as Rocket for that part. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know why they had to just focus just on Star-Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it looks like there's, like, some, like, kind of Telltale-esque, like, I guess it was Mass Effect 2, where it's, like, you get, like, dialogue sequences and, like, choices, and then, like, choices, like, kind of affect, like, the other Guardians. Like, you could, like, make someone mad at you, and then if you choose, like, something that you, like, if you disagree with them, they, like, get mad at you, and then they'll, like, affect things later on in the game.
That's way more in-depth than freaking Marvel's Avengers.
Yeah. But yes, yeah, so this is coming out in October, so I'm cautiously optimistic. Like, I think I'll wait to see how the reviews are and stuff, and see if it's better. If everyone thinks it's better than the Avengers, and then maybe check it out. It's a cross gen, so it's on PS5, Xbox Series X, but also, like, Xbox One and PS4 still. I think one of the ones that definitely jumped out to me was from the Nintendo show. We got the first look at Metroid Dread, which is the fifth official Metroid game, or I guess the fifth one in, like, the official canon of the series. And it's back to being a 2D platformer. Although, I guess we got Samus Returns, I guess, was, like, the return to 2D platforming, but that was, like, only 3DS. This is, like, Switch with, like, better graphics than the 3DS, and yeah, like, the classic, like, Metroid. It's got the map and everything, and it looks like there's a robot enemy that, like, sort of looks like it's gonna be, like, maybe, like, the Resident Evil 2 or, like, Resident Evil, like Nemesis or something, where it's just, like, you can't kill it, you just have to, like, run from it. And then if it catches you, you're, like, you're dead. But, like, it looks like there's gonna be a lot of chase sequences where you have to just, like, you have to run because you don't have anything that can stop it. Until probably, like late in the game, then you probably get something that'll just, like, blow them away easily. like, classic Metroid fashion, but...
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you can kind of play it on a handheld at times kind of gives it, like, that whole, like, old-school feel even more. Mm-hmm. So... That is pretty nifty. I like that too. I like that it's another Metroid, because the Prime series is fun as a first-person shooter type game, But I think people, it's more fast-paced to play in the 2D style.
Mm-hmm.
When people want to say Metroidvania, it's like, yeah, that's just Metroid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there wasn't any Prime 4 news from Nintendo this year, so that's still apparently a ways off. I think was last when you heard from Prime 4 that like Retro got it back, and then they basically just restarted the entire game. And that was like 3 years ago or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Dread is like, they're saying it, I think this is also going to be like October this year. So this is like, they announced it's coming out this year. So that's kind of like a new thing for Nintendo. Usually they're like, their stuff's pretty far off, but or they announced it like a year or two in advance. But yeah, they announced it this week, and it's out in the fall this year. So. So what other things jumped out at you, Chris, for games?
I like that Halo Infinity is like getting ready, coming out soon.
Is that also this fall, I think, right?
Yeah, I think it's like November.
Mm-hmm.
I like that the multiplayer is free to play if you just want to play that.
Yes, mm-hmm. and that was mainly the focus of the. They had like a big like multiplayer trailer. There was like a kind of short story trailer, but it didn't really show much except for like there's like the original Cortana got deleted and now there's like a new Cortana.
Well, it's the original Cortana, like the one that was like always a Master Chief is like gone like renegade or like whatever they call it when they live too long. Like their AI brain kind of like becomes supernova, and they just want to murder things. and then they have like a beta Cortana, which is I guess the precursor Cortana system that they still keep, and they don't do the whole brain infusion, or at least just like that's a very early state version. So like you can still get an AI partner, but it's strange. Like if I remember the lore of the ever-changing like Halos like thing, it was every Spartan got an AI partner so that way they can like decompress from their like warrior like mentality, you know what I mean? Like if you're trained to just be like a war machine, like you need someone who understands you in a different way. So that's why they went, okay, let's give like John like Cortana as a companion so he can like still keep like some humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But then it doesn't explain like all these other Spartans from his generation that you know before they were just like, oh, he's like the last one, like one of four, and then it's like, oh, he's one of eight now. Like, okay, now he's like one of ten. I'm like, oh, okay, so there's just more Spartans laying around. And then I don't know, like the other guys didn't need a like an AI, you know what I mean? Like that's why I was like confused. And then nowadays Spartans are just something you just go through just really easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, that's the one thing I didn't understand. It's like, oh, maybe. And then you know what the story is of the Halo world is that he's been asleep for like 5-10 years and everything's changed since then, like we're back at war,
I guess. I've never had an Xbox really, so I
oh you never really understood the stories.
I played chunks of some of them. Yeah, I have no.
So to give a here's a quick recap though. Halo 3 ended on a monumental note where it's like we don't know. It was like a good like if they never did a sequel, it would have been a fine like that's how it ends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did Reach, which is a prequel to everything. It's a prequel to the first game, but like the soldiers were more like were Spartans, but like they were still made in the same era as Master Chief. So it's like, all right, like those guys didn't need an AI and they were like fine. And then that's why like most of them die. So it's like, okay, but like not him. And then they did Halo 4, which was like, okay, they found Master Chief and then they like brought him back into the group. And then, you know, that was like, okay, well, we found him, and then It's been like 10, like 5 years since then. Five, 6 years since then. And then they're on this like super ship and there's like a new enemy. That's fine. And then Cortana goes rogue then because mm-hmm. It's like hints that she's going rogue. And then she kind of like sacrifices herself to save him, save Master Chief. And then you think that's it. But then like, okay, well, it's like Master Chief is now by himself. And then 5 starts where it's like him and like 3 other Spartans that like he knew from over the years. They're like, wait, and they're like 2 of them are from the same like graduation class he came from. So again, it's like, what? And then where have you guys been? You know? And then it's one of those things where the universe keeps adding things to interject. And you're like, they're pulling the Eternals. We're like, where have you been hiding all these years? But then, you know, like, that kind of ends on a weird note where Katana's like, well, I'll come back because now she's, like, a bad person. And Infinity is now, like, the future from that. So I'm interested to see the story. The main game was okay to play through. It was a lot of, like, generic bad guys you just fought. Nothing really stood out as, like, a tough mission as, like, Halo 2 and 3. 2 and 3 have, like, really fun, like, memorable gunfights, you know, like, tough, like, situations. 4 and 5, I just remember just, like, all right, I just take this long-range weapon and just stand in this doorway and blast everything. You know, like, you sweep the rooms, but, I mean, it's not as memorable. So I'm hoping they get that right for Halo Infinity. What about you? Any other trailers that stood out for you?
Well, I think you got to mention probably I think what a lot of people thought was the biggest reveal or the biggest trailer was Elden Ring.
Yeah, excited for that, but I still don't know what Elden Ring is.
it's the new From Software. So I mean, you should. It's gonna be like very precise, brutal combat and crazy monsters and lots of like crazy lore that you just have to like kind of like it probably won't be explained to you, like you just have to kind of like kind of pick it up from like context clues and stuff.
Basically I'm excited about the ideas on paper. It's just I didn't get excited last year about it because I was like, okay, what's this game about? They're like, it's like Dark Souls but the people who made Dark Souls. I'm like, okay.
And George R. R. Martin is helping on it, so
I mean, that's fine. Like, that's the story. But Dark Souls type games don't blatantly give you the story. You have to like,
it definitely seemed like it was a very like Dark Souls, like Bloodborne sort of thing, where it's just like the Tarnished. You have to find the Elden Ring and like.
Yeah, it's cryptic clues. I don't know what this is. But
you're the Tarnished, I guess, or something. And then
you're the burnt one. But the interesting aspect I wish to do more of is like Sekiro type exploration. Mm-hmm. Like, did you play Sekiro?
Not yet. I've seen gameplay of it though, where you like it's like that's like the fastest From Software game that they've made in like recent years. So you have the grappling hook and you have like you're a ninja, so it's like.
Yeah. And again, I it doesn't play like Dark Souls, but it plays more like it does have the Dark Soul type like. Watch your opponent for patterns, and it's pretty like punishing. It's like it's one of those games where like you just have to keep playing it until you get better at it. Because I would be super frustrated playing like Sekiro, but it's one of those like it's fair, like mm-hmm. in the sense that it's a lot of like dodge, parry, like counter, attack, like and then repeat, like it, you know, like it's one of those games where you can't just spam because you'll die. Because bosses have, like, unblockable attacks, which is, like, the Dark Souls stable, too. Like, you're supposed to just, like, whittle away at health and then, like, back off. But then, like, at the middle of the, or end of the game, where, like, you've now played it a couple times, you now can, like, be, like, a fucking tank and just unleash, like, one hit, like, kills and stuff. I wonder if, like, they're gonna balance that out. Like, the Sekiro, you can't be a tank. Like, unless you play the game, like, 3 times, where now your character's at max level, max everything. Mm-hmm. But the game didn't expect you to play this many times. Well, Dark Souls like that, too, where if you... But Dark Souls is also another looter game, where it kind of entices you to go back and like replay the level to like just one hit the boss at the end of the stage because you're so like overpowered now.
So. Yeah, I think the big thing with this with Elden Ring 2 is that it's gonna be like much like an open world game, which was Sekiro an open world?
Semi. It's very linear, but like you could jump around the state, you could jump around each area.
Yeah, I feel like that's like been most of like the From Software stuff has been like you're in this like air, like you're in this like kind of like area, but and you can go a bunch of places, but you're kind of like in that place. And then Elden Ring sounds kind of like more just like it's gonna be like maybe like I don't know, like Witcher style or something, where it's just like you have this big, huge area of like kingdom or area to explore and like go around and like I don't know if there's gonna be like missions or whatever, but they're definitely saying it's gonna be like much more open world than like their like previous games. So and definitely has their style and like the creatures and stuff. So it's definitely I mean I think if you're like a Souls fan, you're definitely gonna be wanting to keep an eye on this one. Oh, we should probably mention Ubisoft. Or I guess it's they like officially said it's Ubisoft now because they're like everything was like a Ubisoft game. I don't know. They confirmed that it's like how to pronounce Ubisoft.
It's not Ubisoft.
It's not Ubisoft. It's Ubisoft.
Whoa.
But they're making an Avatar game, a James Cameron's Avatar game. That I if the movie comes out next year, I guess it'll be like kind of like alongside the movie, Avatar: Frontiers of Pandora, which is gonna be like a first person. You're playing as a Na'vi, and you have to like deal with like the creatures on Pandora, and also like the like RDA humans and their mechs and stuff.
Them trying to get like lumber and whatever tree. Oh no, unobtainium.
The RDA is trying to get unobtainium. You're trying to like protect like the whatever the mother tree or the tree of life or whatever that they were like.
So are you really like the first movie, I guess?
Or maybe it's like a different area of the planet or something. That but it's like the humans are still there like doing whatever they're doing. Because it's a whole, I mean, Pandora's a whole planet. Like, I mean, there's probably like different areas. Like, cause that's the
different sequels, tribe.
Yeah, the sequels are gonna be like, oh, like there's like different tribes and different areas. Like, this is like the plains Na'vi. They're talking about like maybe in like the second or third movie, there's gonna be like the like ocean Na'vi.
See, I figured they had a team up to fight the humans because it seemed like Earth sent that just one group of humans to take over the planet.
Squad, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, where do they have time?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess this has been developed since like 2017, so this has been in development for a while. And it's using their big their Snowdrop engine, which is the same engine that runs The Division. I don't know. It looks alright. I mean, Avatar is just like it's the highest grossing movie of all time, and everyone just sort of just like, eh. I sort of remember that movie.
Yeah, it's the movie I don't want to see like. Again right now, like it's moment like okay, because I haven't seen it in like 12 years maybe.
Yeah, I think I watched it like, I might have watched like parts of it on like FX a couple years ago, just like oh, Avatar's on, oh all right.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty memorable the first time you see it. I don't need to rewatch
the first if you saw it the first time in 3D in a theater, it was like mind blowing, and then like if you just watch it like on FX or something, you're just like, eh, "This is fine."
Not even that, you watch it on like your phone or something.
Yeah, the way it's meant to be seen on your tiny screen.
While something else is on TV.
Yeah.
The true modern movie watching. But I'm just thinking like, yeah, even if you go to like Disney World and go to like Animal Kingdom Pandora, like it doesn't inspire you to go watch like. And watch Avatar like right away. You're just kind of like, oh, that was a thing. Anyway.
Yeah. Are there still the people who are just like, oh man, if Pandora's not real, so I'm gonna kill myself. Remember that? Remember that was happening? Like people were just like, I just want to kill myself and go to Pandora. Like,
I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah.
Hey, that did not happen at Animal Kingdom.
There's people who were just like so. They were just so like depressed that they could not live on Pandora because it was so beautiful. They're just like, ah.
Just like live somewhere greener. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to like live in this jungle that is probably super dangerous.
Yeah, that's like the whole point. That's like Stephen Lang was just like, this place is a like everything here wants to kill you. Like,
I mean, yeah, unless you like have the right like hair brain connection thing, everything's gonna try to murder you.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason why like a lot of the wildlife doesn't murder you is because you can like conquer it with your tail, your like hair tail. Horses, dragons. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously you can tell Zach and I aren't exactly, like, dressing ourselves blue and get ready for, like, more Pandora stuff.
I watched, whenever the new one comes out, I'm gonna go watch it, but, like.
Yeah, but there have been way more Fast and Furious movies than Pandora, and that, you know what I mean? Like,
after, yeah.
The Avatar stuff, and they're trying to treat it like like, you know, it's such a big industry-changing movie.
I mean, it was, sort of, but, like, it's again, the highest-grossing movie of all time, but it's just, like, it has no, like, no one can name any characters from Avatar, like, no one can remember, like, any plot points from Avatar. It's just, like... Yeah, it's such a it's like the blandest, highest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird title to get, where it's like, yeah, everyone bought a ticket, and then it's like, okay, but did everyone enjoy it?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was fine. Did you have any other games you want to talk about, Chris?
You want to talk about Final Fantasy Chaos Game?
Oh my God. The award for like the worst trailer of E3, or like,
yeah, just to wrap it up.
The most hilariously terrible.
Yeah.
So Square Enix at their event, they announced a new game called Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin, which is gonna be a action Final Fantasy game from Team Ninja. But this trailer was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been fine if they just didn't talk.
Yeah. So it's like your main dude is like some random dude in like a freaking like Henley shirt, like a long sleeve button up shirt, like a long sleeve like button up kind of t-shirt thing, and then yeah, he's just constantly I need to kill chaos. We need to kill chaos. And then,
I'm here to kill chaos in castle of my bros.
Yeah, so they're going to like a castle. Yeah, his bros with him. But then there's like there's a lot of like typical like Final Fantasy. There's like it's like this like very like soft spoken like female like fairy or like someone is talking, and then all of a sudden it'll cut to like your like main dude just being like, I'll fucking kill you. He's like skills like a monster and like does a finishing move on it. It's like you're fucking dead.
It's ridiculous. I enjoy it because it's just like there could have been a better way to make this trailer, but right now they just chose not to.
Yeah.
And so I played a lot of Neo 2,
mm-hmm.
and this is using the same engine.
Yes. So yes. Yeah. So, Team Ninja made those. Now this is their follow up to the Neo games.
Yeah. It's so I can recognize like the. What is like reused again? Even some of the character models look like just some of the avatars in Neo.
I couldn't tell if it was gonna if it has. I don't think it has like the like stances stuff that Neo had.
No, like, no. I think it's just like one default stance. But I think it depends on what your weapon is that changes.
Yeah, it seems like much more like hack and slashy than Neo.
Yeah, so it's not in depth because
you're turning everything into a crystal. Like you're killing you're like. You like kill some you like hit something enough until it turns into a crystal and you shatter the crystal and that's how you kill everything looks like.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. It seems like a weird thing to do. It's a cool effect in the trailer, but it's just I don't understand anything that's going on besides, you know, the knight that is blatantly the knight that went in before him. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, oh, a knight went in, and, like, he never came back. And it's like, you're the, and it's like, in the trail, it's like, you're that knight that was in here. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I think that he's from, like, that knight guy is from, like, Final Fantasy, like, 3 or something. He's from, like, one of the, like classic Final Fantasy games.
See, is this a prequel game, then? Or is this, like, a sequel game to something?
I mean, it's like Final Fantasy Origin, so I don't know if it's like a, I don't know if it's like a remake or like, yeah, if it takes place before like the first Final Fantasy, even though like everyone dresses like
sort of modern day,
yeah,
but like in a weird Hot Topic sense. We'll see. I mean,
yeah.
Listen, I like Final Fantasy 15. I like the gameplay. The story is a little weird. But, like, it was different, you know? It was very engaging to play. Didn't even when, like, grinding didn't seem that bad. But I'm more for action-paced, you know, Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy VII, more action-paced, people love it. You know, Final Fantasy Remake, which I'm surprised they have time to make other Final Fantasy games when Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1 isn't done, and it's supposed to be, like, 5 parts.
Oh, so it's Stranger of Paradise is gonna, it's basically sort of, like, a remix, or, like, it's set in, like, the same universe as, like, the first Final Fantasy game. So, like, okay. Final Fantasy 1 is, like, the same universe as this game.
But it's not
sequel or a prequel to Final Fantasy One. It's basically like
it's a side story
or like it's like a remixed retelling of it.
I'm fine with that because you know I feel like purists are not going to be fighting over this one detail.
Mm-hmm.
If they are, it's just like whoa.
But yeah, there's ton of other stuff happened at E3. Like definitely. We got a bunch of shows on the site. You can head over and check those out, or you can just head over to other places and check out
our, only like, our place. That's all.
Yeah, only, yeah. Come to our place come to everythingaction.com first and watch, and then check out what we feature. Then like
and
go explore more. Yeah,
around.
Yeah. So moving on, although video game adjacent, we got a bunch of gaming, movie and TV show news. Which, like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, like Netflix on last Friday after we recorded, they had a, it was like the last day of their Geeked Week that they were doing like kind of like a Comic-Con / like week long event of like trailers and news and all sorts of like cast interviews and stuff. But I guess Friday was like video game related stuff. So, or like gaming related shows and movies and announcements and stuff. So there's a very brief teaser for Witcher Season 2, although that was pretty much nothing. So we haven't gotten a proper Witcher Season 2 trailer yet. But we did learn that there's going to be some more Ubisoft-related shows coming to Netflix. So we're getting some sort of Far Cry animated series. Although no information like what if it's based on a specific game or like if it's like... a side story to anything or just like an original story, but some sort of Far Cry show. And then we're also getting sort of Far Cry related, but it's like it's Blood Dragon related. So Adi Shankar, who is the producer on the Castlevania series and a bunch of other stuff, he is producing a show called Captain Laserhawk, which he's calling it a Blood Dragon remix. So it's not like adaptation of Blood Dragon, Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, but it's like sort it takes elements from that and it's doing a new spin or like a remix or like a new universe based on like Blood Dragon. So like 80s neon, apparently maybe some other Ubisoft properties might show up in some form. And it's like very like 80s Saturday morning cartoon style.
I'm interested in that. It's like a fun premise.
I think Adi Shankar said his two inspirations are like Captain N and then like What is the other thing he said? He said it was a Captain N and then like some other like property that like is like the two main inspirations for this. And that's gonna be a 6-episode animated show. And then there's also like one image of like the Splinter Cell show that's coming soon.
Just like an old cutscene from an Xbox.
it's just like one drawing of like a bearded Sam Fisher, like, and that was it. Oh, and then we also learned that we learned more about the next Castlevania series. So we know Castlevania the current season series is done now because season 4 is out, but there's gonna be a new show set in the same universe that's gonna be set during in the French Revolution, and it's gonna follow Richter Belmont, who was in I think Dracula X / Rondo of Blood.
Rondo of Blood, yeah.
So I don't know if they said if this is like specifically like a Rondo of Blood adaptation, or it's just gonna be like Richter, and then they're gonna like do a new story based around him. Because current Castlevania is like ostensibly based on like Castlevania 3, but like it didn't follow the Castlevania 3 plot really that much. It's that it had the characters from Castlevania 3, but it was like not really. They went like definitely some different places than like the game went. So. So the Castlevania spinoff is going to be, they're working on it right now. They'll be the next Castlevania thing. I'm sure it's gonna be the same style, same kind of vibe of the current Castlevania. So.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they just call it season 5, but they don't want to call it that.
It'll be like Castlevania : something probably, Castlevania : Rondo of Blood or something.
I feel like it limits it. I don't mind it being called, season 5.
Yeah. And then we also learned, this is not a Netflix thing, but also gaming adjacent. We learned that there's going to be a sequel to Mortal Kombat Legends: Scorpion's Revenge, which is the animated Mortal Kombat movie, which is probably arguably the best Mortal Kombat movie that has been made so far. And we're getting a sequel called Mortal Kombat Legends Battle of the Realms.
What do you think is... Because I didn't see Scorpion's Revenge, but it covers, like, the first game, right? It's like a retelling of the first movie.
Yeah, it was... definitely some, like, things that were... Like, there's more, Quan Chi was in it and stuff, so that... he didn't introduce, like, 3 or something, right? So, like, there's definitely some stuff that, like... expanded on the first game with like characters appear later and stuff, but it was basically like the first tournament. I think they tease kind of like Shao Kahn and stuff, like obviously because that's what's coming up. If they did the first game, then Mortal Kombat 2 is all about Shao Kahn and stuff. So. Yeah, they basically left off as like Shao Kahn was gonna like try to like invade Earthrealm, so that'll probably be where this new movie picks up. Is like they're gonna like the Earthrealm defenders are gonna have to like face off against Shao Kahn and his forces. But all the cast from the first movies are back. Like Joel McHale is gonna be Johnny Cage again. Jennifer Carpenter is Sonya Blade. They're gonna bring in like Kung Lao and Jade and Devorah, who weren't in the first movie. And it's same writers, same directors. So yeah, hopefully it keeps up the quality and is as good as the first one. Because the Scorpion's Revenge is definitely like probably the best Mortal Kombat movie. Like the story was like really good, and then it had like really crazy cool violence that you want, and it even had like the like X-ray moves of the newer games where like it would just like cut to like someone, you like see the knife going through someone's skull or something.
And I definitely gotta check it out.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max. If anyone has not seen Scorpion's Run yet, like definitely head over to HBO Max and check that out, because yeah, especially if you were like maybe like a little maybe let down with like the live action movie that's coming out this year, yeah, Scorpion's Run is what you probably want. So yeah, so that's it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And Chris, did you see anywhere last week or so here?
I did. I saw Wrath of Man.
Oh, okay. The latest Jason Statham movie.
And I liked it. Like, it's a pretty cool story. It's Guy Ritchie's most like formula driven plot, but it's not as crazy as like The Gentlemen. It's a movie he tells you in like chunks and rewinds, you know, like that's his formula.
Yeah, I heard it like kind of like, because I haven't seen it yet, but like I heard it kind of like jumps back and forth. It's just like totally out of order. Like
it is out of order, but it's just edited not well. Like if they edit it to show me like one key event and then from everyone's perspective, I think I would enjoy it a lot more. But the fact that they show you like kind of out of order, like everyone's perspective, it's like, so the story is like Jason Statham is a gangster. Surprise. Mm-hmm. here's the thing. I don't know if they should have showed people a lot of the movie in the trailer.
Oh yeah, yeah. I also heard the trailer like basically spoils the entire movie.
Yeah. So it's like knowing the trailer. So I guess I'll put spoiler alert for it. But so because you know that going into it, that Jason Statham is a gangster that goes undercover, the movie plays like surprise. He's a gangster undercover. Like for the first 15 minutes, it's like, wait a minute, like the movie not know that just him was the gangster undercover? Like what?
Yeah.
You know, like it plays dumb.
Do they also like hide like his like reason for going undercover? Probably.
Yes.
But that was in the trailer.
So. It's like halfway through the movie they show you his reason, but because we already know from the trailer and just kind of like suspiciously like the buildup, it's like okay, like you know you aren't here because of like. It's your job. Like he's like oddly good at his job at protecting money. So like the first part of the movie is you're supposed to be introduced to Jason Statham, who applies to work at this security firm in LA to transfer money. And he's just like a private security firm that is just, you know, transporting cash. And then for the first few minutes, like it's just him learning the ropes, like how everything goes, and he does well.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes on the field where he meets Josh Hartnett, which I was like, wait, Josh Hartnett's in this movie? So
yeah, he's in it. There's a lot of people like Holt McCallany and
oh no, he's there too. Like
Jeffrey Donovan. I heard apparently the movie just like turns into like a Jeffrey Donovan movie for like a section of it, right?
Yeah, it's like the movie is broken up into like a third, so it's like a third of Jason Statham being like this role of like the fake, or like actually no, like the real, like eventually, because it's like he doesn't do this for like a week, he does this for like 4 months, like this role that he's playing of like being a bank transporter.
Mm-hmm.
But the first month, it's pretending that like he just does it. So for the, you know, the movie, it shows him just about his job and making friends and enemies. And then it shows you the pinnacle, like, oh, like, why are you doing this? And he has a flashback to like, you know, 5 months prior where like he was like scouting out. Like turns out he's been like this famous bank robber with a gang who like has been scouting out this location. And then the incident with his kid happens where like as he's scoping out like the transports of like how to figure out how to, you know, break in and steal things, another bank robber crew shows up and then does like arm heisting. And then that he like the arm heist group is like more violent, and then they shoot all the witnesses who see it, like see them heisting. And then it goes back to Jason Statham, who was just like, okay, like, now you know that I'm a gang, like, you know, now the viewer knows that I'm a gangster, but it's like, wait, you know you are a gangster, like, you look way too suspicious to not be a gangster, you know, like, I was confused by that. And then it keeps going until, like, it kind of encounters the bank, the armed robbers, and then the movie becomes, like, a den of thieves, like, then it's, like, their story, and at that point, it's, like, a whole different movie. Because it shows you how these bank robbers didn't start out as bank robbers. They were all, like, militant people that needed a job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they came back and they don't have good benefits. And it's, like, a commentary on, like, you know, how well these soldiers are doing. And then there's, like, Scott Eastwood that's just there. I'm not sure if you knew Scott Eastwood's in this, but he's just in it.
I think so, yeah. I heard he was in it.
He's in it, and he already looks like a bad guy. Like, it just, like... The way he's designed is just like, don't let this guy in your crew. Like, do not do heist with Scott Eastwood. He's just like...
He's a narc.
Not even that. It's just like, oh, he's the loose cannon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you should know better, like, not to do this. But, yeah, basically, then it tells you a lot about them for a while, so that you kind of get onto their reasoning. And then it kind of, like... flip flops near the end, like which side of the movie you're watching between the Jason Statham character and then like the armed robber. But the crazy thing is like Jason Statham's being a gangster character, it plays no part in the halfway of the movie. Like maybe okay, I'm not gonna say like okay, because it's like the like how did he get in, how did he have credentials, like all these things. That's the gangster part, right? Like because you can't just be some guy from England who now is just an LA security guard, you know, like it seems like there'd be a lot of credential checks and kind of like suspicious activities, like, you know what I mean, like the government would do a background check.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he got a job at the mall, you know. So that's the like, you know, the believable part. But the only thing I don't like is that like he has no crew at that point. Like in the trailer, it makes it seem like while he's doing that as the day job, the night job is like him and his like gangster friends and all that. They just like stop helping him. So it's like this big like, wait a minute. Like I thought it'd be like kind of crew against crew, or kind of like Jason Statham's ace in the hole that his crew infiltrated something else, you know, like while he did this. And it's more like a kind of like The Gentleman, where it's like trying to play off like you thought you could outsmart me, I've got a better plan than you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another a Guy Ritchie move, like that's, you know, I like that. I like the whole like while you think it was this, it was that, or while you're paying attention to this, I was doing this. And he just doesn't do that in this movie. Like it lacks that extra punch of like surprise twist or clever plan, you know, how to outsmart like an impossible situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it just ends up a giant gunfight. Which is that was cool. Like it, don't get me wrong, like it's still fun. It's still very it's a nice like bank thriller, but it's just edited really strangely because you spent a third of everyone's character, you spent a third of like of two versions of Jason Statham's character, and it's like it kind of shows you like a surprise, you know. He was secretly a gangster all along. You're like, no, I know that from the trailer. I know that from the poster. You know, like. And then the bank robbers, I'm interested too. But again, you can retell this whole movie and it's like you understand their point of perspective. And it so like that's well written. But at the end, it just falls apart in a really strange way for them. Because they have like a really cool plan. It shows you that this isn't their first heist. Like, you know, they've been doing this for a while. Mm-hmm. But for whatever ineptitude reason, it just starts falling apart. But not in, like, a cool way. Just more like happen chance. You know, not even like, oh, okay, it's like... These armed robbers are so, like, thrown off by Jason Statham. They don't know what to do. You know? Or, like, Jason Statham's plan is so brilliant that they got caught in his trap. That doesn't happen. Like
he's just too badass.
Yeah, it's literally Jason Statham like becomes Rambo. Like he just like it's cool looking, don't get me wrong, but it's just like, oh, he got lucky, you know? It's just like straight up like dumb luck. Mm-hmm. It's straight up bad luck for the armed robbers, and it's straight up just like dumb good luck that like Jason Statham just happens to be the man with the right skill set and the right like just like ambition, because he's so angry, like it's his wrath, like he's just like, I don't know, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm like, I get it. I get, like, why he's doing good. I don't get how they're doing bad. Because he doesn't have, like, the right gun at the end of the fight. He's just kind of like, okay, I'll just, like, punch my way, and then I'll find something to fight with.
Jason Statham is the weapon.
Which is fine, like, because it's, that's what I'm saying, like, they really build up his mystique, where I understand it. And then when they build up for the bad guys of why they're so good, it kind of makes sense, but then when it happens, it falls apart. You're like, what happened? Like, come on, movie. You were showing me how well organized these guys were. You're telling me like how like much training and then prep and the thought process it went into it. How did it fall apart on this? And it's like, you know, like you kind of wish that it would be on equal footing, but it really is just like you just care about Jason Statham, you know? At that point, it's like, I don't care about the villains anymore because they're just incompetent now. I mean, it's cool. It's a cool, like, gun battle, but it's more like when you start thinking about the small details, like, the bad guy is just like, wait, how did you get this far? Like, why would you go this far in your plan and not have, like, a good strategy? So, I mean, worth a watch. It's a good Jason Statham movie, but everyone else is like, you thought it would be sort of equal. I think that's a reason why it's like mostly Jason Statham on the cover, on the posters, like on the press, like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's again, there's definitely a better movie with all the pieces it gives me. There's really cool ideas that they just don't follow through with. Post Malone's in there for like some random reason. I'm not sure if you knew that, but I didn't know that. I was like,
I think I saw that in the trailer or something.
He's in it as, like, he's only in it for, like, 5 seconds.
Does Jason need to beat him up or something?
Yeah.
is that, like, Post Malone's new thing? He's just, like, showing up in action movies and just get the shit beat out of him or something?
Well, didn't he just beat up Mark Wahlberg and Spencer Confidential? Or...
Yeah, he was, like, one of the guys in prison who was just like, hey, Spencer, we're gonna like, say goodbye to you by trying to beat the shit out of you. And he's just like, all right. Then Mark Wahlberg, like, beats all of them down.
And then, like, they never mention him again, right?
Yeah, because he's still in prison.
All right, so I mean, I'll talk to you later about it for Breath of Man, but it's like one of those movies where like you're gonna watch it and have questions too. Where I'm like, yeah, man, they just did not follow through with that. Again, really cool planning, really cool layout, but like, I guess it's supposed to be misdirection, but it's like not clever. You know, there's a lot of like Post Malone's in it. Ooh, a high celebrity, like, you know, actor. He's in it for 5 seconds. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, I think it's out in like a month on like DVD and Blu-ray, so I'll probably get it from Netflix then. So okay.
I'll hold off on because
like, I think it's like that. It's like that crazy like rent it for like $20 or whatever right now, which I'm not gonna rent it for $20.
Yeah, no, it's not worth the rental of that one. But
yeah,
let me tell you, it's interesting watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I saw it just to say I saw it, but then I'm like, I would have been like, if this movie came out like in the middle of summer, like it wasn't just like the only movie in town right now, like, yeah, you know, like, but if it went to DVD, I think it would have been better. Just straight to DVD.
Mm-hmm. Or if someone bought it, like one of the streaming services bought it, like Prime Video or something.
Totally fine to recommend, but. It's weird that, like, The Gentleman, I didn't like it the first time I saw it, but the second time I saw it, I liked it, only because I get the style, and then it's like, same director, like, how? Because it's like, you're missing the clever twist.
So, anything else, Chris?
I saw the Ballad of Buster Scruggs on Netflix.
Oh, okay, yeah, the Coen Brothers anthology.
Mm-hmm. I saw that finally, because, like, I saw bits and pieces, and I like the idea, and I like Westerns now and then. I was, like, in the mood to see something Western-y, and I was like, you know, I had never seen this, so I saw it.
I think I finally watched that last year sometime. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was cool.
I, I enjoyed it too. It's very like, I watch it in like over 2 days. Like, you watch like half and then you watch another half.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like, it's cool. It's a cool experience, but it's sort of depressing. I kind of felt like depressed after it.
Yeah, a lot of them don't end well. They're like, it's just like, welp, you're dead.
Yeah, it's a lot of or like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. So, yeah, it's not like Coen Brothers sort of always ends on a bittersweet moment or sort of like some morality thing where like time is fleeting, like make the best of it because you never know when it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And all the common themes is just death, like how to handle death and like in life in really weird ways.
Yeah, the Wild West is brutal and it's probably gonna, like, you're probably end up dead.
Yeah, most likely you're just going to die somewhere. I mean, the one that, like, is horrifying, and I just keep thinking about it, is the one with Liam Neeson and, like, the show that he, like, runs with that guy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where basically Liam Neeson is just, like, a traveling entertainer, well, manager, and then he has, like, a gimmick with a guy reciting just, like, famous works of art, or famous, like, literature pieces and speeches,
mm-hmm.
and he just gets sick of it. He just gets sick of running the show, and instead of just doing something else, he just gets murderous, and I'm like, okay, that was dark. So I can't figure out, like, what was the story lesson there besides, like, get a better agent, you know, like, just tell the guy, like, please don't do this, you can just drop me off somewhere else.
Make sure you're more talented than that chicken.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's fun. It's definitely, like, it's like a movie watcher's movie, you know. It definitely feel like it doesn't appeal to everyone, but if you're a Coen Brothers fan, like, you like movies, you like the way it makes you think and feel, and Buster Scruggs is that. Visually it's fun, and like the pacing is very great, and I didn't really expect it to be like that much of an anthology where it's like storybook and then it's opening up and reading like certain passages. I was kind of pissed because I was trying to pause, like, the movie to, like, read, but the Netflix app, like, grays out the text, like, adds a layer of opacity over it, so I'm like...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was pissed about that. I was trying to read some of the text in the book, and I was like, okay, like, am I missing something? Like, who is this? What was that? Like, especially, like, at the end of the Liam Neeson one, I was trying to confirm something, and I was like, I can't read this. But the Tom Waits one, where he's, like, digging for gold,
mm-hmm.
where you basically watch Tom Waits for, like, 20 minutes and just, like, hang out in nature and digging.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out why he didn't collect any of the other gold pieces, like the gold flakes and whatever. He really just wanted that giant nugget of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And then he doesn't take it. Spoiler alert. He just kind of goes like, I'll be back for this later. So, that's a bit from me. What about you, Zach?
Well, the only thing I really saw besides, like, my usual slew of shows was, like, you know, like, obviously Loki's still going on, Bad Batch, all that stuff. The only movie I saw, really, was I saw The Vault, which I got from Netflix. Which I think came out, it didn't come out theatrically here. It came out in like on DVD and Blu-ray, I think. But it was made in Spain, but it's not in Spanish, but it was shot in Spain, director's Spanish, but it's all like English actors. But it's a heist movie. It's got like, so Freddie Highmore from like The Good Doctor. He's basically like his sort of like his character from like The Good Doctor, like where he's like this like young genius basically, but instead of like medicine, it's like engineering. But basically the premise is that Liam Cunningham, who from Game of Thrones, like Sir Davos from Game of Thrones, he is running this like salvage company, and he finds like this it's like this wreckage from a ship that has coins that were owned by Sir Francis Drake. It's very like the MacGuffin and stuff is like very like Uncharted, where it's all, it's like Sir Francis Drake and like these coins that like give you coordinates to like another treasure and stuff. But yeah, basically like he and his crew find all this treasure, and they find like these coins that will lead them to a bigger treasure. But then they were in like Spanish waters, and it's a Spanish ship, so then like the Spanish government like commandeers it, and it's basically like, this is ours, like we're putting it in the Bank of Spain's vaults.
I mean, it's kind of true. It's their money.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like Liam Cunningham, like goes to, like they have like a big like international court case. Like it goes to, like the Hague, but then they're like, we're gonna rule with Spain on this. Like they get to keep like all this treasure. Then like Liam Cunningham's like, well, I gotta plan a heist now to get these coins back. So then he goes and recruits Freddie Highmore, who's like in, he's like this college kid, but he's like an engineering genius. Like he like came up with some sort of technology or invention that like stops like oil spills from happening on ships.
Was that thing that like Kevin Costner wanted to make?
They don't really explain. They just say like, oh, you made that thing that like stops oil spills. but they basically recruit him because the Bank of Spain, like the vault, like the titular vault, is like no one outside the bank knows what, like it has some sort of crazy mechanism that like prevents people from robbing it, and that no one knows what it is except for like the people, like the higher ups in the bank. So basically it's like the heist is like twofold. We have to like figure out what the vault actually is, and then figure out how to like get in there and like defeat like the mechanism that like, is like running it, and then get these coins and like out, so then they can like get the coordinates and like go find this like giant treasure somewhere. And they also have this opportunity because like the like World Cup's happening, so there's like these massive crowds outside the bank like watching like the World Cup on like these like big giant screens and like this courtyard outside the bank. So that's like a big distraction for like them to be able to like get into like the bank and like try to like rob the bank, because like there's like so much stuff happening outside the bank with like the World Cup stuff happening. So it's fine. It's like it's a solid heist movie. It doesn't do anything it doesn't do anything you haven't seen before. It hits a lot of the beats you'd expect it to hit. So it's not really like original or anything, but it's solid. It's like if you're looking for like just a decent heist movie, it's pretty good. There's some fun there's a sequence where they go into the bank before the heist, and kind of like it's like a setup thing that they steal like these like two keys and like get like the thumb like the fingerprints from like the head of security for the bank. And so that's the whole thing of like we gotta figure out how to get these keys out of these vaults, these safes, and like get this guy's hand, like get these guys like fingerprints, and like Freddie Highmore and one of the other guys are like disguised as like janitors, and like they have like this like pickpocket who is like, she's like undercover as like this like art expert and stuff. It's fine. It doesn't do anything to you're not gonna be like, oh man, this changes the heist game. Like it's a very straightforward, solid heist movie.
Okay.
So yeah, if you're looking for that, you can check it out. Actually, the guy who directed it directed like most of the Wreck movies.
Wreck movies,
yeah, like Ari's like Wreck, the found footage like zombie movies. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. I got it on disc. If you see it like streaming somewhere, I would say it's and you're looking for like just like a decent heist movie, it's worth checking out. It's at least more of a heist movie than Army of the Dead was. Like, just there's much more. You get much more of like the heisty stuff that you're like expecting, of like planning and like oh man, it's gonna go. It's like going bad. Like, how they're gonna get out of this? How they're gonna like fix this? And like last minute save. Like, it's like, oh man, this last minute save. Like, how are we gonna get out of this vault, or get out of this bank without getting caught and stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, Army of the Dead, you kind of want a better heist part, but
yeah.
I can see this kind of nail, it just, like, it gets that scratch, like, itches that scratch of, like, a good heist movie.
Yeah, this is, yeah, the vault is definitely much more, like not as good as them, obviously, but, like, this is, it's more lean toward, like, the, like, Ocean's side of things, where it's, like, much more, like, there's a lot more planning, there's a lot more, like, everyone, like, there's, like, everyone has, like, a specialty. There's like the guy who can, like, get anything you need, like, he can, like, find anything you need, and there's like the serious, like ex-soldier guy who's, like, the main, like, the lead guy who's, like, gonna go on the heist. Oh, and yeah, it's on, you have to like pay, it's like a pay rental, so it's on like the Google, it's on like the Google video, Google Play Store, or like Vudu or something. It's not like free stream anywhere, but if it does eventually show up somewhere like Prime Video or Netflix or something, it's in, you're like, yeah, you're just looking for like a decent heist movie. Check it out.
I'm surprised it's not on one of those. Especially if it's like, yeah, a foreign film that like probably had no marketing.
Yeah, it seems like it should be already somewhere. It should be on like Netflix or something already, but it's not. But maybe in the near future it will be. So so that's pretty much it for me this week. So we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. Like you mentioned, you can check out, we have like an E3 post with like a bunch of the trailers you can check out. And then all the usual stuff that we put up every week is up there as well. And then come back next week. Our Tokyo Drift commentary will be up. So definitely head over to the site next Thursday. And you can watch Tokyo Drift with us. You can stick up the commentary and watch it right just in time for F9. And you can still head over and check out our other commentaries as well, including last month's, which was The Mummy Returns. So that plus all the other commentaries are up on the site. So you can have and check all that stuff out. And so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.